Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki Balancing Form and Essence. Welcome back to our shows. The last couple of weeks have been kind of sketchy because we had some kind of interference with a new version of the broadcasting system that we're using. But now I think we're back on track, and I want to welcome all you listeners back to the show. I hope that you weren't too sad about the vacation that we had for a couple of weeks. And I have with me today Dawn Weiss. She is a local, as far as I'm concerned. I live about 20 miles south of Tucson, and she lives about 20 miles north of Tucson in a town called Oracle. And Dawn, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Phyllis. It's great to be here.
Yeah, great. And of course, what we all love is to hear Reiki stories. So I'm just wondering if you could share with me how you came to Reiki.
Sure, I'd be happy to. I really had an interest in healing since childhood. I had some illness when I was 5, 6 years old, severe complications from a tonsillectomy. And I went through a lot of treatments and a lot of medicine, and nothing seemed to be working for me. And one day a young man in our neighborhood, it's actually a preacher from a church that we didn't even attend, came over and put his hands on me, and I felt this really good warm feeling, and I started getting well after that. So I think that was my earliest memory of just being really interested in healing, alternative healing.
What a beautiful experience.
Yes, definitely it was, and life-changing at an early age, I would have to say.
Right.
And then, you know, I grew up and raised my family, and whenever the kids would get hurt or sick, my instinct was always to put my hands on them, but I didn't have any training.
Right.
I started learning about Reiki, hearing about it, I should say, as a young adult, and really wanted to learn it, but I was waiting to meet the right teacher. Well, after I moved to Oracle, we had this little group we called the Paradigm Shift Group, and we would have, we'd take turns facilitating the group and bringing different speakers to the group. And one of our group members brought a speaker named Dr. Ann Baldwin to talk to us about Reiki, of all things. And that was how I first really learned about it in depth. And I listened to Ann talk about her research that she's done through the U of A with Reiki and rats, of all things. And I was just really taken by her because she's so knowledgeable, and she just has this really warm, loving air about her. And I said, that's who I want for my Reiki teacher. So that was how I met Ann. And on April 26, 2008, I received my first Reiki attunement. So I'm kind of a newcomer in some ways, but I just had a passion for Reiki from the start. And as soon as I had had a few weeks to get used to my first attunement, I was really kind of bugging Ann for when can I do more. So I practiced for about 3 months, and then received my level 2 attunement and training with Anne. And I really tried to practice faithfully everything I learned. I practiced a lot of my husband and my friends and myself, and I tried to read everything I could get my hands on. Found out that not everything you read is the same. There's a lot of different opinions and information out there. And then after a few months of practicing Reiki at level 2, I asked Anne about becoming a Reiki master, and she told me I had to practice for at least a year before I started the training and received the attunement for that, which at the time seemed like an awfully long time, but I learned a lot in that year, and she was always there for me, you know, when I had things come up. You've probably heard the story before when we've talked, but I was practicing on one of my best girlfriends, and she seemed all relaxed, and she got up from the table, and she said, "Oh my gosh, I've got the awfulest headache." And this turned out to be like the worst headache of her life.
Great.
Oh my gosh, what have I done to my friend? And I was really pretty concerned about it. And so, of course, I contacted Anne and asked her, "Well, what do you think I did?" And she gave me a lot of different ideas as far as, you know, it could have been how the energy was moving in her body and working on some blockages, or it may have just been a matter of not offering her the right pillow, size pillow, to go under her head. So surprisingly enough, my friend has come back for Reiki since, and I've had much better results, I'm glad to say.
Well, when you say much better results, it seems like Reiki brought something up that was really important for her. And I'm wondering if she ever had any insights about this headache.
If she ever what?
Had any insights about the headache, like why she might have gotten it.
You know, I think neither of us have ever completely figured it out. It's just that other Reiki treatments have been really good for her, very relaxing and no headaches. And I did always make sure she had a pillow under her head that was the right size for her, so it could have been as simple as that.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes the answers just don't come right away, so.
Right, right. Well, in your photograph, you look so young, Dawn, that,
Oh, thank you.
It's really interesting, to listen to your story and have you say that from, you know, a young woman, you heard about Reiki, and I realized that I've been practicing and teaching for over 30 years, so that's really possible because you're like 30, right?
In my heart, yes. And in real life, I'm more than twice that. So.
Really? Oh,
yes.
Wow. So I'm just wondering where you heard about Reiki 30 years ago, because it wasn't very well known.
I may have misspoken, because actually 30 years ago, I was raising my kids and putting my hands on them if they were sick or hurt. I really probably only heard about Reiki maybe 10, 12 years ago.
Ah, okay. Yeah,
and that
just
would just, I'd see a flyer or, you know, a little ad for come and experience a Reiki circle or whatever.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah, sorry about that. I wish I had heard about it 30 years ago. But I guess everything comes to you at the right time in your life, and I remind myself of,
Yeah. Well, the other thing is that I always, when I talk to my first degree students, I often say, you know, this is a natural phenomenon. You know, you see parents who are comforting a small child when they are hurt, and you can see that they put their hand on it, and they kiss it to make it all better.
And always.
This is, you know, totally our natural, I feel like we're going back to a natural thing that we had and that we forgot.
Feel that way also very much. And I understand more why I did some of the things I did, you know, raising my kids. Or even if you stub your own toe, you know, the first reflex is usually to put your hand on it.
Exactly. And, in the past, it didn't often immediately stop bleeding and stop hurting, but it sure felt good.
Yeah, it does. a couple of years back, I was leaving a wonderful concert. It was actually a kirtan concert. And I don't have the greatest eyesight, and I wear glasses, as you know, and there were lights in the parking lot, but they were sort of shining in my glasses, and I didn't see one of those parking blocks. And I hit that thing, and I flew up in the air, and I came crashing down on my right knee and and my right hand. And, of course, my husband's trying to pull me up right away, and I'm saying, just let me sit here, just let me sit here. But I'm about an hour's drive from Tucson where the concert was. So all the way home, I was just giving Reiki to my right knee because it really hurt. And I gouged my hand up a bit, so I'd kind of trade off and, you know, give some Reiki to my right hand too. But the next morning when I got up, my knee was sore inside, but there was no bruising and no swelling.
Wow.
Just really amazed me, as I'm a true believer in Reiki, but it's still amazing because at the time I thought maybe I'd shattered my kneecap. But
wow.
My hand, on the other hand, took a little bit longer to heal because it was, you know, gouged, but it was amazing to me.
Wow, that's a great story. So, in your in your relatively short Reiki life, you've gone from being a first-degree student to a second-degree student to a master. And I'm just wondering, do you have, is there anything that you can share about your feeling of the different levels of initiation and what they gave to you?
Yes, the first level, I think, was the most amazing to me because it was a group of about, there were four of us as students, and when Anne did my actual attunement, it was like a lightning bolt went through the top of my head down my spine. I mean, it was a very pleasant lightning bolt.
Uh-huh.
And my whole body just jerked from it. And it felt like, you know, a really major transition in my life. And I noticed, you know, early on, I've been practicing meditation for 30-some years, and it really focused my mind where I would actually just envision myself giving Reiki to myself, and it would focus me in a deeper state of meditation.
Oh, wow.
Sorry?
Well, this was in first degree, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, it's such an interesting idea, visualizing yourself, giving yourself Reiki in first degree. I mean, I think that's extremely clever of you.
I was part of a local meditation group. We've got great groups up here in Oracle, as you can tell. And what I would do, because we'd just be sitting in a circle on Wednesday nights, and I would, instead of actually doing the hand positions on myself, I would just envision that I was doing those hand positions, and it would just bring me right into focus.
Wow, that's incredible. That's very cool. Thank you for sharing that.
And then level two, what I loved most about it was learning to do the distant healing. And up until recently, I was working a very stressful social work job, 40 hours a week. And I would not only use my Reiki on, you know, family and friends who would ask for it as distant healing, but sometimes I would know that I was going into a tough situation that day.
Yeah.
And I would send the distant Reiki to the situation. And I would be amazed, you know, sometimes that people who were normally a little more difficult to deal with just seemed to be warm, and the interaction went better than usual. And, of course, I wasn't sending it to them because I didn't have their permission, but I was sending it to the situation. And it just did wonders.
That's great.
The initiation itself for second degree probably wasn't as dramatic. The attunement, but I still certainly felt more energy coming in and the ability to then, you know, have more energy going through me when I was doing treatments.
Right. And did you experience that as, did you experience your Reiki as having more energy after you took second degree?
I did. It just seemed as though, again, everything was more focused. And I practiced a lot more on more varying people.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of hard to explain, but it just really felt like level two strengthened my Reiki more.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And then the master's level, of course, I was just really looking forward to that and did my attunement at her home, just a one-on-one, and we practiced a lot, you know, teaching me how to be a teacher and
right.
so forth.
Right.
And that was a very humbling experience, and again, I felt like it just strengthened Reiki for me. It was just a couple of weeks after that, you know, I'd been having people come over to my house and have these little rooms and try to set up my table and get ready. And, so about 2 weeks after my master's attunement, I was overseeing our local chiropractor, John Huntington, and, lying on his table, and he was proceeding to crunch my neck around, I believe. And but I've been meaning to ask you, if you'd like to use a space at my clinic. I have a spare office room, and we have a massage therapist that comes in a couple days a week, and you could have the room on some of the alternate days. And, wow, that's just what I've been dreaming of. So it was really a dream come true, and I'm still practicing my Reiki at his office. It's been a great space, and fortunately my office roommate and I have, you know, kind of similar feelings about how to have it, have the space set up and keep it a sacred space. And so, it's been a beautiful place to practice Reiki.
Oh, that's wonderful. What a wonderful gift.
Definitely.
Uh-huh. So, let's see. Often people talk about somehow receiving more power. And mm-hmm. when, you know, when you go to different levels, and in my experience, which is a little bit different than most people's experience because of the way that I didn't go to first and second degree class. So it was, I always have missed that experience in my Reiki mm-hmm. life. But, I feel like instead of me receiving more power, what happens is that I'm responsible. I have more to be responsible for. And maybe a part of that, maybe a part of what I'm responsible for is being able to choose to use my power or the power of Reiki, in different ways. So in first degree, it was for hands-on, and that mm-hmm. was where I learned my lessons. And in second degree, then I increased my choices, but it also increased my responsibility. And the
Definitely.
Same for teaching, that like was a huge, giant step mm-hmm. into responsibility. I'm just wondering how that feels for you, and have you thought about this?
Oh, I definitely have, and I think that's an excellent point, because with each level there is more responsibility. For example, with a distant healing, you know, making sure that you're sending to only someone who's given permission, or to situations versus individuals mm-hmm. if they haven't. Mm-hmm. Teaching, I have only done a small amount so far, and I've been very particular how I've done it and who I've taught, because I think that is a huge responsibility. And I know that, I want to make sure that anyone that I would teach would really understand what they were asking for and take it seriously.
Uh-huh.
I was having lunch with Anne one day, a few months back, and I asked her how many masters she had attuned and trained, and she said, just two of you so far, because there were two of you that I felt were really serious enough to do it.
And uh-huh.
I took that as a huge compliment from her.
Yes, I would think so.
Yeah.
That's sweet. So do you have contact with your other, shall we say, Reiki sister in mastery? Or is it a man or a woman?
I don't know. I don't really know anything else about her. And I didn't ask. It might
That's
at some point be a good question to pose.
But,
yeah.
Interesting. Because I know that the masters that I have initiated and instructed feel as a family. And, of course, as a large family, there's something about the parent being really busy. Which is an interesting analogy. And so the kids
And your
family's
huge.
Yeah. And the kids actually have more, they have a lot of connection with each other. Because, you know, the parents are really busy and doing their thing, and the kids bond, and that's what happens. Mm-hmm. So that's why, that's where that question came from, was not something that was a part of a form or anything. It was just my experience of, you know, the groups that I do.
And I've certainly witnessed that firsthand, having been blessed with coming to some of your retreats and various teachings and getting to know some of your masters, and I've certainly felt that too. There's like a real feeling of family there.
Uh-huh. Great. So, well, let's talk about how you met me. Can you tell the story? I think it's a great story.
It was a great story. Still is a great story, actually. Well, one of my girlfriends had gotten an email from a friend of hers up in Silver City about a workshop that they were doing with drumming, and she knows that I love drumming, and she knows that I'm passionate about Reiki. And this was Jessica Palin, who's a percussionist and leading the drumming workshop, and Phyllis Buramalto, and it said right on the little flyer that went out, the granddaughter of Mrs. Takata, and I thought, wow, I have got to do that. So as soon as I could, I got signed up for the workshop, and I was telling my fellow drummers up here in Oracle about it, and three other women decided that they wanted to go as well. So one of the women borrowed a van from her daughter, and we took off for Silver City. And that was where I met you, and I think it was just the most amazing workshop. I loved the drumming, and I found that the majority of the people in the workshop also were Reiki people, so I felt very at home, and the drumming was just super amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And we've kept in touch since, which has been awesome.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that particular, well, it was a special time for me, on the other hand, in that it was, I think, it was at the time when I had just finished my chemotherapy, mm-hmm. and was kind of resting in preparation for the radiation. And I needed something to kind of, I don't know, mark that milestone for me. And that's what this work was about for me. And also, when I met you and I met some of the other people, I thought, well, I'm really lonely somehow. Or, because I knew, for Reiki master friends, you know, like I mm-hmm. lived in areas all the time, like Santa Fe, and even in northern Idaho, there were lots of Reiki masters that I knew there. And I, you know, I had my own kind of mastery community that was kind of a local and somewhat social community. So I thought, well, you know, I went home thinking, this is really crazy. There are hundreds of Reiki masters in the area. I should, you know, put out some feelers. So that was an inspiration to, you know, kind of find the people that I knew. And I had met Anne, your master, through a whole interesting series of circumstances. So I, and then Marcia Drosdorf, I met her when I was going into interview for my radiation oncologist, and so that was really, that was all very interesting. And I started this group called Be the Change, which meant that all these Reiki masters would come together, and no matter what the form of the practice, we would just come together as masters. And we did that for the first time in Phoenix, and I just loved that circle. It was so wonderful to sit with all these masters. And, I mean, we were related in the sense that there were some very similar honoring of teachers and so on. But the forms were, I'm sure, quite different, though we never got into treatments that day. But since we have, and you've been a part of that group, and I've just loved it. And I'm we're resting now, it seems like, for the next months or two. But I'm wondering how that has been for you on your side.
Oh, it's been wonderful. I had enthusiasm for being part of that group, just like doing the drumming workshop. Wonderful way to connect. And I've continued to get to know Marcia through that group, since she lives in Tucson. And in fact, we were roommates at one of the retreats that we did together. Just an awesome lady with wonderful stories, too.
Yeah, wonderful stories.
Just that connection has been great, and especially as our meetings have evolved into having a chance to do Reiki on each other. I really enjoyed that, and found it just a really deep experience to have two other Reiki masters giving me Reiki at the same time. Something I hadn't experienced before, so I hope it continues to, so we can meet every quarter or whatever, however it works out. It's just been really great.
Well, because you came to Reiki in an era, in the era that you did, which is not very long ago, and from a master who, I think, in my surmising of her, doesn't, I mean, she's her own person. She doesn't have to depend on other people or defend herself. She's not a defensive kind of person.
Right.
And, you know, in the years that I've grown up in Reiki, so to speak, we've gone through a lot of different, stages of development.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that stage was kind of to claim our own right to practice the way that we did. And what I loved about these circles is that that never seemed to come up. What came up were the similarities of how dedicated we all were to Reiki, how much in awe we were of the experiences that we had had in Reiki, and how we could universally appreciate somebody else's path. And I felt like that was such a breakthrough for me. And I'm just wondering, because you're kind of a newbie, we could say, if that ever occurred to you, because it was really striking for me.
Well, I think for me, I kind of learned it from the absolute opposite perspective, being new to Reiki and not knowing that much of the history at the time. I probably came in with the assumption that everybody did Reiki pretty much the same way. And of course, it's been a learning process for me, realizing that there are these differences. But at the same time, my experience with the group was basically the same as what you're describing, that we focus on our similarities and our joy in doing Reiki. So even though I came at it maybe from a different perspective, not knowing all the history so much at the time, I still just found that coming together and the similarities and the stories and everything just really wonderful. Mm-hmm.
That's great. Well, I am encouraged by this group, and I know that there are other movements, if I may use that word, out there in the rest of the world, literally, to bring people together and to share in the similarities of our practice, in the sense of what we experience and the profundity of Reiki in our lives, rather than the differences. And that's been really, you know, a wonderful turn of events.
That is good.
And yeah.
It's wonderful to continue to meet more people, because it seems like each time we do get together, there's a few new faces and,
yes,
and new stories and great experience.
Right. Well, it'll be interesting to go deeper with this group and to really being able to share our practices. And I think that that has been, that's where we're heading toward, hopefully sometime this year.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yep, me too.
Feeling like I'm having more time now that I'm retired.
Right. And well, let's talk about things. That story, your retiring story. So, another milestone in the life of a Reiki master.
It certainly is. I think from the time I started doing Reiki, I wished that I could just devote my time to it, but I also liked getting that paycheck every couple of weeks. I'd been doing social work for about 16 years, but the last eight I was doing case management, and it was a very demanding and often stressful job. And then some changes came in the job. You know, there have been a lot of contract changes in the past few years, and so last October, I had a job change and realized that it was taking up so many hours of my day that I felt like I was neglecting Reiki. I wasn't getting the word out. I wasn't getting as many clients. I was doing a lot of self-treatments because I was trying to relieve my own stress. And it certainly did relieve it, but then, you know, the next morning rolls around and the phone starts ringing. And so I did a lot of looking deep in my heart about the choices, which basically was coming down to using my Reiki more and having the peace of mind versus having the paychecks and the stress. And I think the last straw really was when I caught this terrible cold. I hadn't been that sick since 1980. I just realized, you know, this is not worth it, and I need to look seriously at retirement. And once I made that choice, I immediately felt relieved. And I gave my notice, and I called Social Security, and he said, well, we can get you in on January 5th. And I said, well, actually, that's my last day of work. How about the next day? So January 6th, my husband's birthday, no less. I went down to Social Security and signed up.
Wow.
And I've been loving it. I really have felt like it's a healing process for me. It's given me a chance to really relax and do things, follow my heart, so to speak.
Wonderful. That's great. So what are the things that you've been doing? I know that you've set up, you know, you're really interested in setting up more of a treatment practice, which feels good.
I am, and I'm working with another chiropractor who's a little closer to Tucson than outside that I may be doing some Reiki through her office. We still have to kind of discuss a few more things first, but I would like to broaden my clientele, and I'd also like to do more teaching because I really love doing both very much.
Uh-huh.
One morning, I guess it's maybe a week and a half or so ago, I got up and I came to my computer to check my email, and I just started putting together my Reiki brochure, and that's something that's been in the back of my mind for some time. And, you know, when you're working a lot of hours, it's easy to put things on a back burner, and I spent the whole morning on it. I realized I hadn't eaten breakfast or lunch. And that's really strange for me because I wake up hungry in the morning. But I guess my hunger was for something else that morning. And so,
that's a good point.
I just have to kind of touch up the fine points. I want to get a couple better photos to put on it, and then I'm ready to start spreading my flyers around.
Great.
And I'm hoping to get a little Reiki share going up here in Tucson, in Oracle. I've been to the one in Tucson, and just like the idea of it. Of course, everything's kind of miniature up here, you know, smaller groups of people. But I've had a few friends express an interest in doing such a thing. So that's another thing I'm pursuing.
Well, that sounds great.
Yeah.
What would that be like? Would it be just an open Reiki share, and would you do more of the treatments, or do you know yet? Maybe it's too soon to know.
I don't know exactly yet. Things do have a way of taking on a life of their own, but the one that I've attended in Tucson, which of course is much bigger, people they usually do like an inner circle and an outer circle, and the folks that have at least Reiki 1 or above can do the treatments if they wish, being in the outer circle. So assuming I had enough people to make a circle, I might just give that a try. And we might do some chair treatments as an alternative.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out what you just said. So what do you mean an inner and outer circle? I've never heard about this.
Oh, okay. Well, again, you have to picture a fairly good-sized group, but at the Reiki share that I've attended, a lot of people come to it to experience Reiki, maybe for the first time, or they may be familiar with it and they just like to receive Reiki. And so they're invited to come into the middle of the room, into the center of the circle, and then the people who are Reiki practitioners join hands and make a circle around them.
Ah.
Almost like being in this womb of Reiki, getting all of this Reiki from everyone sending it into the circle. It's a pretty interesting experience, and again, we'd have to have a large enough group to encircle another group. And that might take a few meetings to do that. But the other thing that we practiced at that group was the chair Reiki, and they would put out chairs, and people wanting to receive would just go up and pick a chair, and people who were there to give Reiki would just go to one of those persons in the chair and give them a Reiki treatment.
Huh. Oh, interesting, because when you said a Reiki exchange evening or whatever you said, I pictured people coming and lying on Reiki tables and giving each other treatments.
And that certainly could be a possibility, too. And in looking at the size of our town, and I think there may be two or three other Reiki masters in this town and several other practitioners, you know, in time we might get a group big enough to just do that. But I'm looking more at this point in a way of opening it to people who would like to receive Reiki who may not necessarily be practitioners.
Uh-huh.
They could also come and receive from those of us that want to give it.
Right. Well, I think the those are two very interesting forms. And, you know, it was really funny because last night, where I'm staying, I'm not right now in Honolulu, and of course there's lots of Reiki here, but this woman, with whom I come and stay, when I'm in town, she decided that she would like to start having a Reiki, share group, and we were talking about that last night just, and, you know, somebody had, one of the people in the group who was here had kind of served as a focalizer for a Reiki share group, and she was very, well, I would call her controlling. It's like she made people come on time. She made people do this. She made people do that. And it was kind of like, I'm going, well, this is kind of, I wouldn't want to come to your circle. It would feel like, you know, kind of an antithesis of what Reiki is. So it was really interesting to just, you know, hear this, and now I'm hearing something really different. So it's like my whole mind is being open to the possibilities of what a Reiki share could look like. And I think that's great, and there are a lot because, of possibilities. You know, you can also be really creative. And so I just get, again, that... sometimes I have a very one-track mind.
Well, I think we all base our ideas on what we've experienced. And for me, going to that group in Tucson was probably the exact opposite of what you experienced, because it's run by a husband and wife. They're both Reiki masters.
Uh-huh.
And they are very animated. They bring all kinds of humor into, you know, kind of bringing the group together initially, which was like a great icebreaker because people laughed and kind of, you know, seemed less formal or apprehensive if they were new or whatever. And people drifted in and out all night.
Wow. it would have
driven that other
woman crazy. Yes. Well, fascinating. I think that's a great idea. And I really... we're going to have to definitely stay in touch about that, because I would love to know how that actually worked out.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, great.
It will be a work in progress for a while.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Yeah. But I really think that that's wonderful, and that you're bringing the gift of Reiki to Oracle, and sort of to kind of, I would say, more public, maybe a more public arena, is really wonderful, and it's somewhat courageous.
Well, it's a pleasure for me, and I'm still getting used to the idea that I have time to do these things that my heart has been wanting to do for a long time. So it feels really good, and I think we'll have some really positive results.
That's great. Wonderful. So... I'm just thinking, my thought escaped me now. I've gotten so into these images of the Reiki share groups that, fascinating. It's like the other part left. I know. So what does it feel like to, decide to be a full-time Reiki master in these times? You know, it's like everybody kind of there are two ways to meet what feels like a loss, and that is to contract or to expand. Mm-hmm. And what I'm really hearing from you, and what I find so inspiring, is this feeling of expansion. It's like you let your job go so you could be bigger. You know, so you could, you know, do more things and be more out there. And I've heard lots of the opposite, where, you know, people have lost their jobs and now they're, you know, having to, you know, kind of make themselves smaller in order to be more affordable or something. So I'm just wondering, you know, how that feeling is for you, and if I'm accurate in my observation of you.
Well, expansive is just the word that describes what I'm feeling. And when I was pondering this decision, which was kind of over a period of a few weeks, it's like the two little voices in your head. One of them is saying, you've got to be crazy to quit a job that pays well. It's basically a sure thing. You got to hang in there so that your retirement right. is better. And then, the other voice saying, not only am I stressed, but I really want to spread my wings. And that's what I feel like. And I have never had any thoughts of regret since I made that choice.
Wow, that's so
cool. I realize I'm only about a month into it, but it's just been amazing how things are falling into place. And when my dad retired years and years ago, he that was the era of the CVs, remember?
Yes.
And everybody had a handle. And his handle was Free Bird. My dad in his 60s loved rock music, and he loved that Lynyrd Skynyrd song. And,
right.
So as you may have noticed on that party invite I sent out, I've decided to take on my dad's motto, and so I am calling myself Free Bird, and that's how I feel. I'm free to expand the practice that I love and just see how things come together.
Wow. Well, when you said that Free Birds, I had what in Hawaii is called chicken skin, which is goosebumps.
Yeah.
So wonderful, Dawn. I mean, that is such a wonderful image. And I really am so excited for you. And I'm excited for Oracle.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I'm excited for me too. And and just watching things unfold and seeing what happens.
Right. Great. Well, good for you. We're about at the end of our time. Isn't that amazing?
And, it went fast.
It did, as usual. And I'm just wondering, do you have any long-term kinds of dreams that you'd like to share? Like, would you... I mean, in the old days, Reiki masters used to dream of... We didn't just dream of traveling. It was like that was, kind of par for the course. But now, what's really wonderful and what I dream of is staying at home.
And you are a well-traveled person.
That's true.
I like the idea of staying at home. I haven't traveled far and wide, but I've... put on about 500 miles a week, week after week for over 8 years. So I've traveled back and forth the same places an awful lot. So I really love the idea of focusing on my community and, nearby communities. Certainly not opposed to some travel. One of my little dreams is to visit Hawaii. So, someday.
Great.
You'll know all the right places to go. I'll have to talk to you about that.
Yeah. Well, that's neat.
But my main inspiration with Reiki is to just continue to develop my abilities and to become the clearest channel that I can be for Reiki. And I've realized that everything is a growing process, and I just hope to get better and better at that.
Well, I do think you're well on your way.
Well, thank you. That means a lot coming from you.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Dawn, for sharing your journey.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity. It's been a pleasure.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.